go. Stand by.
3, 2, 1, action.
Assume nothing.
Rash, bald-faced blasphemy.
Question everything.
I find it extremely hard to imagine.
Open your eyes.
It is quite all right to be an atheist.
The fastest growing group of people in the country has been measured as being those who have no belief or who are atheists.
You don't have to be apologetic or quiet about it.
Challenge the opposition.
You see religion on 100 fronts losing the argument.
And start thinking. This is The Thinking Atheist Worldwide.
Still waiting on a replacement computer from Dell. They've been good to me in the past. I know anytime you say anything like a computer brand, a cell phone brand, a preference for any kind of technology, hell, a preference for a sports team, it's automatically an opportunity for everybody and their dog to just jump in and pile on. And they complain about them, and they talk about how their specific preference is better. I had a wonderful experience with Dell. I had a terrible experience with Dell. You know, those types of things. But I had a computer component just fry, and they couldn't figure out how to fix it remotely, and it's covered under warranty. And so they're like, hey, we're going to send you a new computer. That was 3 weeks ago. Or refurbished, rebuilt, warrantied, whatever. And so far, we're still waiting on a part for the build. And then they will build it, and then it will ship. Wait a minute. Now we're talking about a case, some hard drives, processor, RAM, few cables. What the hell? So anyway, can you hear me okay? Plugging the broadcast mic into a camera, which feeds the Facebook live stream, and I don't know. You tell me. Walk into a bank yesterday to make a deposit. What was yesterday? The 13th? Yeah, yesterday was the 13th of November. I walked in, and I'm waiting to talk to the teller, whatever. And I just notice it in the background. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Little bells. Ding, 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 ding. What the hell? Excuse me, is this Christmas music? Oh, yes. This woman was like a Mentos commercial. Oh, yes, it's Christmas music. Don't you just love it? It's not Thanksgiving yet. Thanksgiving is next Thursday. Over a week away. It's not Christmas yet. Oh, well, we just love Christmas. It was actually my idea. And so we put it on the intercom and just thought we'd get everybody in the mood. Ding, 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 ding. It's the most wonderful time of the year. With some exceptions, in some contexts, Christmas music has the effect of putting me in a worse mood. Now, I like Christmas, and I'll celebrate Christmas with my family. We'll have the kiddos over, and we'll give and receive gifts, and we're going to enjoy the holiday. I don't enjoy it like I enjoy Halloween, but I'm okay with Christmas. Yeah, and I call it Christmas. That's how the holiday is colloquially known. And it's it's the name of the specific event, December the 25th. I'm not that guy. It's not even Thanksgiving yet. And so much of Christmas music out there, especially the classics that have been butchered by pop stars, they take songs that you and I love, Bing Crosby, White Christmas, and they take those beloved classics and they take them out into their snowy yards and they just urinate all over them. the Christmas music is not putting me in a better mood. And especially the cheery Mentos commercial woman standing in front of me is not putting me in a better mood, because no one's that happy. No one is that happy. It's like watching a 1950s sitcom. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's my money. Just put it in somebody else's account. Just take the money. Just take it. Take the money. I need to leave. There's a place in Broken Arrow here, my home. Well, I'm Tulsa, Broken Arrow, where I get my hair cut, right? You call in to get you have to get an appointment. So I call up and I'm like, hey, I'm calling to make an appointment. And the person, I guess it's a call center. You can tell there's a bunch of chatter in the background. And this person is just as bad. He's like, okay, great. We'll get you on the calendar. Looks like it might be kind of a busy week, but we'll see if we can find you an opening, okay? While we're waiting, can I ask you what the favorite thing is that you did this weekend? I shit you not. This is what he said to me. Excuse me? Just checking to see what your favorite thing was that you did this last weekend. They're not talking to me. They're not talking at me. I'm not even convinced they're working from a script, because this does not sound like the kind of thing that any competent business owner would ask their employees to do. Like, anybody who's a public figure, you know, for lack of a better word, how to kind of work a room. And you can do so in a sincere way because you genuinely want to be there. You know how to strike up conversation with shy people. You know how to engage and find ways to connect with those that you may not even have something in common with. You become skilled at starting, igniting the spark of conversation with people. That is not it. Hey, what's the favorite thing that you did this last weekend? Well, it was not talking to you. I mean, I didn't say this, but I was thinking it was not talking to you, because I'm going to need an insulin shot after talking to you. You are so, no one should be this sweet. I don't know why. I think it's the sugariness of this time of year. There is a way to celebrate Christmas without becoming those sort of, I don't know, everything's got freaking tinsel on it. And they're all smiling that sparkly smile. Everybody prancing around like they're in the Rockettes. What's wrong with me? Is it just that I'm so married to Halloween that I become cynical about all the other holidays? Or is it the marketing of the season? Why are we listening to Christmas music on the 13th of November? I wanted to leave my Halloween decorations out, put some Santa shit on that thing. You know, put some tinsel on the freaking gravestone, stick it out there in the yard. Holidays are tough anyway. I kind of dread getting together. You know, it's a cost benefit when you go and you see the family. And I don't talk to really specific members of my family, but we're in the same space. And so everybody's, oh, let's all pray. Time to pray. It's time to bless the food. Got to bless the meal. And it's the most dry, vacuous prayer. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings that you have given us this year. Essentially, Lord, we thank you for making us Americans. And we thank you that we have been born into a true religion, while all those other deceived, devil-worshipping people out there were born into false religions or started to follow false religions because either they just were stupid or they weren't born Americans. And we ask that you be with us and protect us and guide us in our daily lives and do all these things. We just thank you, Lord, and thank you for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for this food. No one thanks the cook. No one thanks the person who harvested and prepared and shipped and cleaned up them. Nobody thanks those people. We're going to thank Jesus for the meal. I find these, I don't know why it bothers me so much, but it bugs me. Thank the freaking cook. Thank the people responsible for the action. And just the prayer itself, I get the vibe nobody is actually praying, that they're just kind of closing their eyes and they're doing this sort of countdown in their skull, waiting for the final amen so that they can then go dig in with the rest of us. But they participate because it makes them feel good. Do you think they are genuinely attempting to communicate with an other world or another worldly being in those moments? Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we thank you for the food. I pray that you'll guide and direct us in your way and that your will be done. Wait a minute. I thought God's will was always done. It's his will. Why would God's will not be done? And if it's not his will, why are you praying to ask him to change his will? That doesn't make any sense to me. Unless he's expecting you to pray to change his will, which is part of his will, meaning that he knows what you want. He just wants you to beg. Well, that's kind of sick. So wait a minute. His will is that you ask him to change his will. He expected to end up changing his will, which was his original will to begin with. Wait. Hang on just a second. Hang on. I'm not processing. I just came back. You know, I had a blast in Florida. I came back from 3 tour stops, Fort Myers, Clearwater, Orlando, and I had an amazing time, just as we had in our Europe trip and doing a couple of conferences in the Netherlands. But something, I don't know if it's jet lag, I don't know what happened, but when I returned from all my travels on this last run, I'm just edgy. Edgy. Is it a sleep thing? When you find yourself, you know, your sleep patterns all mucked up, do you find yourself without patience and snarky and just this close to, you know, I talk about the 6% event, you know, where 100% is when you blow your stack. And so, you know, throughout your day, these little things add up, you know, oh, there's no food in the fridge. I'm starving. I don't want to get some breakfast. Oh my God, there's a flat tire. I had to replace a car battery. I got to do this and that. And so-and-so's got something and I can't believe this happened. And all these things get you up to 50%, 62%, 75%, 81%, 95%. You're at 95% pressure. And then a tiny event, a 6% event causes you to snap and you just, I don't know if it qualifies. I was on the plane. How difficult is it to board an airplane? How hard is that? Right? There are essentially two rules you have to abide by. First rule is your carry-on baggage cannot defy the laws of physics. All right? There is a quantifiable amount of space in the overhead bin. And that shit you're dragging down the aisle is not going to fit no matter how much you push. Right, you must abide by the laws of physics when it comes to carry-ons. And the second rule is clear the freaking aisle. Clear the aisle. Clear the aisle. If you're working on getting your stuff together, you've got a handbag or a laptop case or you're juggling a coat or whatnot, just step in the aisle. Step out of the aisle into your little row there in front of your chair. Just step in there and clear the aisle so that the rest of the passengerial artery can flow, because there are 200 plus people who are trying to find their seats because they have places to be. We have connections to make. How hard is it to do this? And yet time and time again, as much as I travel, which is a lot, I find people just stand there and they're checking their watch right there in the middle of the aisle with a huge line of people behind them. They've got bags that aren't going to fit, and so they have to go against the flow, and then the flight attendant has to go and check, and they have that discussion. I was standing behind a woman as we got on the, it was Orlando to Dallas connection. We're getting on the plane. I'm in group 4. I walk down. Walking down the aisle, I'm about row 15-ish, and I'm seated way back in the ass of the plane, which is normal for me. Right? I'm a leper. I'm back in the cheap seats. But I paid like $15 extra to be able to board because I didn't want to check a camera bag. I'm terrified it'll wind up in pieces. I wanted to make sure there would be overhead bin space. All right, so I did it right. Paid a little extra and said, I need group 4 boarding so I know I'll have room for my bag. All right. So I'm waiting. And all of a sudden, the woman in front of me stops because she recognizes a woman seated in row 15, seat D. All right. And the woman seated in seat D looks up and says, "Oh, my God, you would not believe what happened to us on the flight over." "Really? What happened?" "Well, the toilets weren't working in the entire airplane." No. The toilets didn't. "Yeah, no, none of the restrooms. All the laboratories were out of order. And so, no, you couldn't go to the. No, we couldn't go to the bathroom." Now, the line is starting to extend behind me. All right. There's a whole list. Groups 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever, still waiting to get on the plane. Many of us have connections in our cities of arrival. So to keep everyone from having to use the restroom, they didn't serve us any beverages on the flight over. They didn't have the beverage cart. We didn't get water. You didn't get any liquids. You didn't get anything. No, we didn't have any water, juice, pop, or any of that stuff. Line is starting to congest. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, I'm like, "That's fascinating. You're blocking the aisle." And the lady looks up at me. And I just smiled. "Blocking the aisle. You guys are blocking the aisle." And in a moment of defiance, she then looked at her friend and said, "Anyway, it was a miserable flight and I didn't know what we were going to do. I mean, my mouth was so dry and, you know, blah, blah, blah." "Oh, that's just terrible." Said, "You're blocking the, this is amazing. This is a hugely compelling story. I'm sure we'd all like, you are blocking the aisle. The rest of us would like to sit down." Finally, these two break their huddle. And the artery again begins to flow. And I'm just thinking to myself, you're either that clueless or that inconsiderate. And I don't think I'm being a jerk by drawing attention to the fact that there are 200 other passengers on the plane who need to be seated before we can go. I had no patience. And I fancy myself a patient guy. What's wrong with me? Anyway, I figured since I was back, the show is released for this week. I'm debating on what to do next week. Hell, this might be it. I thought I would just check in with you and see how your life is. By the way, I must say a huge word of gratitude to Dr. Ringding. Now, it's amazing the stuff that people give you on the road. And it's 99.9% of the time, it's a tremendous honor. I met Dr. Ringding. He came and gave me a disc of an album. Like he does ska-vaganza. So it's like a ska punk thing. I don't know. It's an interesting sort of convergence of musical genres. And he signed it to Seth, Respect Always, and gave me his album. You know, when you meet Dr. Ringding, well, things are definitely looking up. That's a huge gift. I got this from him when I met him at the Atheist Day event in Utrecht, in the Netherlands. And thank you for that gift. I had people bring me stroopwafels. That was amazing. I've had people bring me books. This becomes a little more problematic, and I was bitching a little bit about it on Facebook this week, and I genuinely wonder if I'm being a bad person by bitching about it, but I mean, it comes down to the bending of space and time to be able to accommodate the many requests that you've got. People go to my website, thethinkingatheist.com or sethandrews.net, and more, I just wrote a book, I want to be on your show. And most of these people I've never heard of before. They're not members of the community. They're not on my Facebook page. They don't really know anything about the podcast. It's obvious that they did a Google search for people who may have some crossover in the specific genre that they are talking about, and they are throwing out these emails. I'm guilty. I think I did that a few times when Ghost Stories, the audiobook, released. I found some Ghost Stories websites and said, hey. I mean, I was very gracious, but I was like, if this serves you, give it a listen. I think it's high quality and whatnot. So maybe I'm a hypocrite about it. But if someone hands you a book this thick, how, you know, this is 60,000 words. Do me a favor. Tell me what you think. Meaning that stopping. I must literally have to stop everything else that is happening, everything else that is going on, to peruse 60,000 words. And then what? Do you want a written review? Do you want a verbal review? And so you get book after book after book after book. I saw somebody, there was an activist, who was it, online? He was saying, you know, stop sending me these 90-minute videos and telling me to watch it and give comment. Because it's the internet. There's so much. I mean, I'm not saying I'm uninterested. I'm saying I only have so much bandwidth and I feel overwhelmed sometimes. I would love to be cloned. I would love to be able to outsource some of this stuff. I did have somebody ask me if I was going to do like a book review for maybe some apologetics books. That might be interesting to me. But it's been done. I think the Bible Reloaded has done some of that stuff. Has Cogdis done apologetics books? There's somebody else who is, they go in. Scott Clifton, I think, is an activist. He'll read these books and he'll dissect them. I don't know if that's interesting to you, and it's kind of already being done. As we get set for 2019, though, I want to try to, as best I can, keep the show fresh, reinvent it where possible. I don't want to spend the next 12 months talking about the biblical God. I'm tired of the biblical God. I'm tired of the Abrahamic God. I'm tired of talking about Adam and Eve and Abraham and Isaac and Noah's Ark. I'm tired of talking about the Bible's endorsement of slavery and stoning disobedient children and do not boil a goat in its own mother's milk, and do not get tattoos, and people couldn't live to be 1,000 years old, and women be silent, and Jesus, and the historicity of Jesus, was there a literal Jesus who wrote the Gospels, the Book of Revelation? I'm tired of the Bible. We could spend more time on sort of fringe cults. But after a while, they start to all sound the same. These authoritarian pods, sometimes pods with millions upon millions of people. These drones who just look up at some appointed, self-appointed king, savior figure who sell everything they have and give over every decision in their lives and just essentially live as somebody else's intellectual and potentially physical and financial slave. That's why lately we've been doing more lifestyle shows, just talking about life stuff. And, you know, that may cost me. Some people may decide to screw that. I'm not interested. I want to talk about the biblical God some more. And I want to talk about this specific cult or religion. Or maybe they want to get into some area that I'm not good at. You know, it may not be my gift, but I am open to ideas. If there's a subject, if there is a topic or something that you would like to see covered in the months and even years ahead, podcast@thethinkingatheist.com. I think it's a natural response. It's like Ian said I should do a segment called God Awful Books. That wouldn't be hard. Did you hear that Ken Ham at Answers in Genesis is doing a convention at the Ark, I believe, the same weekend as the American Atheist National Convention next year? Oh, now I struggle with this. I don't know if did I tell you that Ray Comfort sent me a gift basket? A series of events transpired, and I was told, you know, it's okay, but he wants to send you something. And I got this gift basket in the mail from Ray Comfort. Now, I don't trust Ray Comfort any further than I can throw him. I certainly don't like his arguments, those sort of condescending and superior pats on the head that he attempts with atheists. And then he puts together these tremendously lazy, quote unquote, documentary films where he goes out and he finds people who could not be more uninformed about why they are atheists. They haven't actually examined the God question. They're sort of atheists by default. And he asks them a series of, honestly, rudimentary or even intellectually dishonest questions. And at the end, he gets them to say, now, don't you think I'm right about God, that there could be that there is a God out there? And they're like, well, yeah, that makes so much sense. And of course, that's his sort of coup de grace at the end of this film. And he juxtaposes it with a shit ton of stock video that he buys online, and he adds an emotive music track, and voila, he has the atheist movie. I don't trust Ray Comfort because I don't think he's being honest. He may not be honest with himself. He's certainly not being honest with the rest of us, I don't think. He knows what's going on in his heart. Maybe he's that deluded. But I also know he's an opportunist. When the Reason Rally 2016 happened, Ray Comfort was going to have a band of these apologists, these sort of God warriors, these crusaders for Christ, infiltrates the event and just essentially walk up and start evangelizing people. He was going to go and change the mind of these atheists. Good luck with that. It's not that our minds can't be changed. It's just that we know what Ray Comfort is bringing to the table. It's the banana man, right? We know that there is nothing new under the sun when it comes to Ray. We know that all the stuff that he's pitching has been long ago debunked and discarded, and it's off the table, and we can move on to other questions and ideas. And yet, Ray, the opportunist, had decided he was going to send his band of merry men and women to go and fix the atheist until it was brought to his attention that he could not do that at a private event or his people might be arrested. So instead, what he did was he let the Reason Rally organizers put together the entire event, all of the organizing and all of this and the securing of the over in front of the National Mall, was it? Or was it in front of the Lincoln Memorial, I think, in 2016? And, you know, promotional materials and this and that. And he allowed all that to happen. And then he snuck in here on the coattails and he added his tent pitching his movie. He added it to the corner of the Reason Rally, just off the actual Reason Rally property, and piggybacked his own thing on the Reason Rally efforts. And he had his minions walk around the sidewalks inside the Reason Rally with a big sign that pitched his movie, this documentary that supposedly debunked atheism. I think God Awful Movies did a review of this film, Atheist Movie. I know I did. I think maybe we did it together. There's a broadcast about it. Breaking Bad ringtone. And I recognize that number. Telemarketers. And they're mostly machines, so you can't bitch them out. Oh. This is an important message from Google. My favorite is the one where they have that Stephen Hawking voice synthesizer, and it says, "This is an important call from the Internal Revenue Service. Do not hang up, or you risk facing prison time for evasion of tax." Blah, blah. I know better, and bye. Anyway, Ray Comfort is the co-headliner for this Ken Ham Answers in Genesis Answering Atheism conference coming up in April of next year. And it's happening within 40 miles of the American Atheist National Convention. So we're all talking about what's the appropriate response. Well, I'm torn by it because part of me is screw these guys. What they want is attention. Why else would they do it? Once again, they're trying to piggyback on the efforts of other people to gain relevance. I think some of their tickets, they have a couple's weekend getaway package that's $500. $500 to go to the Ark Encounter for a conference? Are you shitting me? And they're going to answer atheists. Well, Jesus, if your answers are no better than the stuff we've had to field in the past, why bother? But I also enjoy the idea that insanity often benefits from a spotlight. You know, the best thing we can do to bad ideas is expose them and reveal them and say, this is just bullshit, and make fun of them. I think, and Ken Ham and Ray Comfort. I mean, I think many believers deserve our compassion, and as human beings, our respect. There's an ilk of people, I think, these apologists who, you know, many of them acting in some disingenuous ways. You know, they do an interview with an atheist and they go and unfairly edit that interview to make them look better. That's why whenever Matt Dillahunty debated Cy Ten Brueggenkate in Memphis, Tennessee years ago, I was the videographer. I ran a 5-camera kit by myself. That was a long night. But as soon as the video was done, as soon as the evening was done, Cy had his own crew there, okay? So unprepared, they didn't even have a proper audio feed So they ask for mine. And because I don't give a shit, and because I'm just fine with the audio being used, I said, here's the file. Right? No one can ever accuse me of not taking the high road. All right, fine. You want the audio of the entire two-hour exchange because you weren't prepared? I'll give it to you. And then I went home and in the course of 3 days, edited the entire five-camera debate with Matt Dillahunty and Cy Tim Brueggenkate, and I put it online. And to prove that I was being intellectually honest and not doing any unfair edits or cuts, I would remove no content, no ums or ahs or sentences or phrases or any of that stuff. To prove my own integrity, I released another feed of a single camera uninterrupted the entire event so that you could actually play the edited five camera with cuts and whatnot and all of the bells and whistles. You could play it side by side with the single camera feed and you would see that they play exactly in sync. Nothing has been edited out. Cy's team came out with, they didn't even release the debate video. They released a trailer, was it Cy in the boxing? Was it Cy or a proxy for Cy in the boxing ring? It was kind of a Rocky spin. And he was like, God's warrior doing battle against the evil atheist. You know, and then there's the atheist and all of a sudden there's this a knockout punch and you see the atheist landing on the boxing ring mat. Ding, you know, and the match is over. And oh my God, it was terrifying. It was just terrible. And I think that's all they ever released. They may have released like their own video of the event, but why bother? Because it's already been seen by like 500,000 people on YouTube on my channel. I'd already done that, but it was disingenuous. I mean, these guys were essentially saying Cy Tim Brueggenkate knocks a knockout blow against the atheist without actually showing any knockout blows. And in order to see the actual exchange, you would have had to come to my page, the atheist page, where the event had been recorded and represented accurately. I've heard of other apologists, for lack of a better word, and they'll invite atheists on their radio podcasts, and then they'll go and they'll edit those things unfairly and sometimes sell copies of the interview to help raise money. They want to raise funds for something. It's just dishonest. And you know, I go back and forth. I guess a summation of this long sort of ramble is that, you know, do we have fun at their expense and talk about them as I'm doing now because it benefits them not? Like none of us are going to say, well, you know, now that I know Ken Ham and Ray Comfort are headlining an event 40 miles from the American Atheist Convention, I'm going to not attend the American Atheist Convention and I'm going to go and attend. Or by talking about it, will any of our friends say, you know, I really should spend $400 or whatever for the weekend and go to the Ark Encounter to hear Ray Comfort? Do you think that's going to happen? Will there be any tangible benefit? Or does it sort of help to be able to draw a huge flashing circle around the insanity of having this particular discussion? Like answering atheists. Well, there might be someone out there who can answer the atheist position, but it ain't going to be Ray Comfort and it ain't going to be Ken Ham. Is it a fundraising move, you know, which I think the debate with Bill Nye was? You know, some people say, why are you talking about it and giving them publicity? They might be right. And other people are saying, God, we should make fun of this at every turn. It's a freaking Christmas gift. I would enjoy Christmas with that kind of Christmas gift. It's the most wonderful time of the year. If you're Almighty God and you spun the cosmos into existence, is Ray Comfort the best you could come up with? Like, is Ken Ham, like, is this the A-team? That's alarming to me. Like all-knowing, all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, all-conquering deity, the supreme being. Ken and Ray? Ken and Ray. Ken Yam and Ray Comfort. These are your guys? Are you shitting me? That alone may be a refutation for, if not a benevolent God, an intelligent designer. Were you there is not an argument. Were you there is not. I'll pray for you. you're actually not an atheist because you're too good, or you're borrowing your goodness from my God, or you may not believe in him, but he believes in you. Not an argument. Time to start thinking, right? Anyway, we've been talking about what about the possibility of, and I'm not opposed to this. What if you could get one of those cats on stage with our guys or gals or whatever, you know, if the atheist team on stage at a co-sponsored evening has a face-off. I'm not necessarily opposed to that if it's not going to be just a de facto fundraiser for Answers in Genesis. Yep. Matt Dillahunty on stage with Ken Ham. Yeah, I'd want to be in that room. I'd want to have a video camera in that room. Dr. Donald Prothero against Dr. Stephen Meyer. I don't know if Stephen Meyer's in there. I think he's with the Discovery Institute, not AIG, but he might be on the lineup. I'll have to go look at the deeper roster. I know to go see a world-renowned paleontologist and geologist talk to Dr. Stephen Meyer, who has written books about evolution, even though that's not his background. Intelligent design, rather. I would want to see that. I would want to shoot video of that and put it on the internet. Would you participate in one of those? Would you welcome that? Do you think it only helps AIG and Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham, rather, the Creation Museum, the Ark Encounter, Ray Comfort and his brand, The Way of the Master? Do you think that, you know, we're only feeding their machine by giving them any attention or the time of day? Or do you think, you know, hey, it's mock worthy, it's ridicule worthy, so let's tee it up and let's drive it home? What would you do? I don't know. These are the things that are on my mind. As we approach the Thanksgiving holiday, let me, if I may, leave you with this thought. I am not one of those people who's unaware of the multi-layered onion that is the Thanksgiving holiday. And, you know, I'm not one of those people that gets all misty-eyed about things like, you know, let's all say one thing that we're thankful for. Like, I don't do those exercises very well. But I am a proponent of an attitude of gratitude. I am a person who thinks that, you know, a life that is a reflective life, a considered life, is also one that stops occasionally and says thank you where it's warranted. And I have so much to be thankful for, thanks to you, for the companionship and the support, the challenge, the information you give me. You continue to sharpen me. The fact that you're still with me after all these years. The fact that you would hang with me during a Facebook live stream and just spend part of, you know, a weekday having a conversation, listening to the rants of a guy who's just kind of shaking his head at the world. Maybe you're shaking your head with me. We are all in this together, and it's not lost on me. I hope the holidays, while stressful for many of us, I think the holidays, I hope they're good for you. I hope they're celebrated on your terms with the people that you care the most about. And no matter how all the rest of this shakes out, you know, whether you're into Christmas music or you're not, whether you're traveling to grandma's house or whether you're staying home and doing your own thing, whether you are planning to join us for all these big events in 2019, or you're just going to sort of watch the fireworks from afar, I hope yours is a life that's lived on your terms. And I think that's the way it ought to be. Anyway, thanks for watching. I'll catch you next time.
Follow The Thinking Atheist on Facebook and Twitter. Watch dozens of original videos on The Thinking Atheist YouTube channel. And visit our website for resources, links, contact information, the editor's blog, and more. TheThinkingAtheist.com.